I encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn me to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. We are continuing, and we'll conclude today our three-part series on Be Growing in Grace. Be Growing in Grace. This is such an important theme, especially in the times in which we live and in this brand new year, that we be reminded that our responsibility as believers in Christ is not to be stagnant, not to be going backwards, but rather growing consistently in the grace of God and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This was the encouragement that Peter gave at the end of his second epistle, where he says in verse 18, but grow in grace, or be growing in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us. And we thank You for the grace that You minister in our lives each and every day. That which is undeserved, given to us, that supplies our needs, that helps us to live in a proper way here upon this earth before the lost, before a dying world. We can have the life of Christ in us presented through Your grace. And we ask, dear Father, that You would work in such a powerful way today to minister to our hearts as we consider what growing in grace looks like. I pray that You might help us to take these things to heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to pick up where we left off last time, because I think it's important for us to see what grace looks like in the believer's life. It's so easy to talk about grace as like this inanimate object that's out there in outer space that God bestows upon it, but describing it is a little bit on the difficult side, is it not? What is grace? It's almost like the term glory. What does that mean? It's hard to put it in concrete terms. Well, the Bible puts it in concrete terms for us. We have to study it. We have to understand and know what it is. It's God bestowing to us that which we cannot receive on our own. We cannot produce it. We cannot somewhere go and look on the earth and find it, dig it up and take it home. It's something that God gives to us which allows us to live the Christian life. His grace. So, growing in grace, what does that look like? I think that we as Christians should have a better idea about what it means to grow in grace. And I mentioned this last time, and I'm going to emphasize this because this is so important. The demonstration of the fact that you're growing in grace takes place with how you speak to others. Our discourse, our conversation as we live our lives here upon this earth. There is a discourse that is affected by grace. We looked at several verses last time, and I want to demonstrate 10 things today. I told you that I was going to share that today with you as we move along here. But I wanted to remind you of Matthew Henry's statement, tremendous scholar of the Bible. He said this back in the 1800s, "Grace is the salt which seasons our discourse, makes it savory, and keeps it from what? Corrupting." You see those three things there that are brought out? These are all scriptural, by the way. They come right out of the Word of God, right out of the New Testament. Grace is the salt. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. All right? Seasoned with grace. It's the salt, the preservative of your discourse, how you talk to others. Not only that, but it makes it savory. Is your speech savory? Now, we know what savory is. You know, when you sit down to dinner, which you're going to be doing here in about, 50 minutes or so, some of you are already thinking about that. Okay, pull your minds back in for just a moment here. But you're thinking about that meal that maybe is at home, or maybe you're going to go out to eat today, and you're thinking about that savory meal. That registers, does it not? But what doesn't register is whether our speech is savory. Does it affect people for good? Or is your mouth running in such a way that people just, I don't want anything to do with that individual? That individual doesn't understand and know how to deal with using the mouth. We're so quick to just blather words out and then have to pull them back in again or delete it off our Twitter because we just buzz something out. That's your conversation. That's your communication. Is it seasoned with grace? And then notice the third thing. Is your speech kept from corrupting? Corrupting. We were talking this week in Bible class, dealing with this, the subject of death. And with death comes a certain stench. You know, there's nothing that smells worse than a dead armadillo. You know, they've got that little armor cage around all those things. And when they get hit with a car and they sit out in the sun here in Florida, oh my goodness, the smell is horrendous. But I would imagine you could say that about any dead thing, right? I was in Haiti back in 2010, and I smelled death every day because just across the street, dirt road, was a cemetery. And in Haiti, they don't bury anyone underground. Everyone is buried above ground, and they take bricks, as they take just bricks, and brick it around, and they leave spaces so they can look and watch. Because in their belief system, all right, voodoo, they believe that some can come back from the dead. And so they want to keep that open. The problem is in the heat of Haiti, the stench is just overwhelming. And when the wind would blow in a certain direction, we would smell it, and it's overwhelming. The stench of a human body decaying. Do you realize the stench and the rot of conversation that has corrupted? I don't think we do. I don't think we do. We live in a world where the tongue is unfettered. Do I hear an amen? It's unfettered. Hollywood movies, unfettered filth. In print, on television, in social media, the tongue is unfettered because we value everybody's opinions along with all their dirty, filthy words. What's happened to us? Our speech is not seasoned with grace. We're not growing in grace. And it shows in how we talk. I want to share with you 10 things very quickly here that I think are very, very important. 10 ways to foster gracious speech. All right, these are nothing new here, but hopefully it will compound in your mind the layers that are needed to set a watch right here. Number one, regularly reflect on the unbounded grace God has lavished on us. Has God lavished His grace on us, people? Yes, He has. And you and I need to meditate on it every day. We need to spend time. That was basically what I was saying in my call to worship. You know, we travel to Walmart. We travel to Home Depot. We go to Pensacola. We go to Crestview. And we drive there. And we drive home. And there's no thought about what God just did. What did He just do? He ministered His grace. We got there. And we got back alive. Wasn't that gracious? We should meditate on the unbounded grace that God bestows us on it every day. Last night, you didn't think once about breathing. When you pillowed your head last night, after you watched the Jaguars come back, and win, I turned it off. I just knew it was all over with. And then they came back and won. We now have a Florida team in the playoffs. Shocking, right? But anyway, you pillowed your head last night. Not one of you went to bed and said, all right, now, lungs. All right. Work tonight. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Intake. Outtake. You didn't do that. You pillowed your head and you drifted off into dreamland and you didn't think once about it. When you got up this morning, you didn't think anything about it either. You didn't think about the fact of the thousands and thousands and thousands of breaths that you took. And you weren't even aware of it, right? Isn't that the grace of God? Isn't that the grace of God? Your house wasn't broken into last night, right? The cat for once was quiet, not making a lot of racket because it was hungry at 3 o'clock in the morning. God is so gracious to us all the time, and we don't think about it. Number two, remember, God will hold us accountable for every word we speak. Every idle word, by the way, is what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 36. Number three, constantly check our hearts for sinful attitudes and motivations, because that affects this right here, what we say, whether it be in secret or whether it be out in the open. Check your heart. Number four, ask God to heal old hurts and humble our pride. I'll tell you what, folks, it is such a trial to listen to people who are constantly rehearsing over and over again all their hurts. All right? Now, we have a daily stream that comes into the office from the playground. All right? And sometimes it's real. We had a young lady that tried to catch a ball with her pinky, and it knocked it completely out, and it was turned off to the side there. It was grotesque looking. All right? But most times they come in, "Hey, I fell down on the ground, and I got a boo-boo." And you look down there, and you're straining to see. Where was that again? You sure you got the right leg? Oh, maybe it was this one over here. You know, it's just amazing. We love to rehearse before people. How are you doing today? Don't ask certain people. Right? Oh, I got up this morning. Oh, the pain in my back. And then when I got up and I got that straightened out, I had another pain that came up in my shoulder. And then they go on and said, "How did you live? How did you make it to this point today? You're literally dying." Rehearsing all of our hurt feelings and all that kind of, would you let go of it and let God's grace come in and flood your soul? Can you let go of it? Some people love to talk about all their hurts, their hurt feelings, and all that stuff. Turn it over to God. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved." Psalm 55 and verse 22. What a glorious verse that is. Number five, refuse to use corrupt. By the word, that's the Greek word sapros. I love that word. It means rotten, putrid, rotten. I said, "Pastor Brainerd, why do you love that word?" Because it shows us where this tongue can go. It can go in the land of the rotten and the putrid. I'll tell you a quick story. Years ago, I worked for Joe and Barbara Anderson. And I finally got permission from Mr. Joe to drive his Ford truck. I was so excited. I'd gotten my license. And he said, "Todd, I want you to take all the garbage down to the dump and you can use my truck." And I was saying, "Thank you, Lord." It was stick shift. Man, I love stick shift. Wind it out in first, drop it down into second. Okay, don't tell Joe that I did that with his truck. But he had a Ford truck, and I drove that thing down there, and I backed it up at the dump, and I started unloading, and I smelled something really bad. Now, you said, that's pretty common at the dump. But this was really bad. I jumped off the back to close the tailgate, and right beside me was a rotting cow's head that somebody had dumped off at the... I mean, it was staring at me. It scared me to death, and it was rotting. It was putrid. It stunk. And I jumped into that truck, and I headed home. But you know what? When I jumped into this truck, the smell was there too. And I'm sitting there, rolled down the windows, and I'm driving along trying to get... And it just lingered. You know how bad putrid smells just linger? Let me tell you something about your mouth, Christian. You don't let the grace of God live in your life. You're spewing out words that are rotten and putrid, and it stinks to high heaven. Your dialogue is affected by grace. Number six, commit to using edifying words, kind and gracious words that build up and encourage people. Can we do that? If you can, you're living by grace. Because that's what growing in grace is. You want to encourage somebody, not tear them down, not talk behind their back, but rather encourage them and build them up. Next, make the effort to begin and end every conversation. How? Can you say that word, please? Graciously. Even if you've had an argument with somebody. Determined by God's grace. All right, we need to end this differently. Amen? We don't need to end it angry. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now, how do you stop it? You can't stop the sun, but you can stop this right here and end the conversation graciously. Number 8, refrain from talking about things that cannot be changed. Dr. Watt and I were talking about that just this morning. Having conversations with people, and they want to argue their point, and they have a belief or something that's just contrary to God's Word, and they want to argue, and you're not going to change. And they obviously are not going to change. Are we getting anywhere? Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Walk away. Walk away. Number 9, focus on the other person. Now get this, and I intentionally put this down. Ask questions that don't circle back to me. Oh, how we love to do that. We ask questions in such a way that it rotates back to me. Let me tell you something. If you've got the grace of God growing in your heart, you're going to circle back to whom? Jesus Christ. Not yourself. Jesus Christ. Which brings us to number 10. Exercise self-control. Is that word even used today? Self-control? That's almost like antique. We'll go to the antique store and look for self-control because it's nowhere to be found anywhere around here. It must be in the antique store. How many of you like to go to antique stores? All right. I love going there. I love looking for old bottles. I'll look for something that just dates back to the, you know, before the 1920s. I like that era. And looking for things, and I just love it. I love going through there. I look for insulators, too, the old telegraph insulators. I got a couple of those, and I look for those if they're cheap. And I love antique things, but you know what I've never found at an antique store? Oh, over here we have some old, really old self-control. Right over here. What would it look like? First of all, what would it look like? It wouldn't look anything like what we've got today. Self-control, because sometimes the most gracious thing you can say is what? Nothing at all. Sometimes just being there. Just being there. Be quiet. Just be there. Some people think that they have just got to machine gun down people with their mouth. Just word, 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 word. We need to study to be quiet and to do our own business. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. And I'm not saying say the word nothing. Oh, nothing. No, I'm not talking about that. Some people will take it literally. Pastor Brainerd told us today that whenever we don't know what to say, say nothing. So, nothing! No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the symbol that we use in class a lot. Anybody know what that means? Lock it and throw the key away. Yeah. How amazing it is that we can always find the key. Just start going again. Yeah. Growing in grace, folks. Growing in grace affects your discourse. What you say. How you talk. Whether it's going to be an encouragement or is it going to be a teardown fest. We need to let the grace of God work in our hearts. There's another area that I want to get into, and that's our attitudes. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just look at the verse 1 there. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? In the what? Grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How can I be strong in the grace? It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Be strong. You ever been in a place where you just want to collapse and quit? I can't go any further. And you just keep on. And you just, that's what we're talking about, being strong in the grace of God. I can't do it, but God can do it through me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, how we need to exercise ourselves in God's grace. When we're about to collapse and quit and run off and mope and groan and complain and be in depression and so forth like that because things aren't going the way we ought to do, that's the time to be strong in the grace of the Lord. Amen? There's another verse that I want to draw your attention to, and that's James 4:6. James 4:6. Flip over there. Not too far away. James 4:6. But He giveth how much grace? Say it, please. More grace. Yeah. Don't you like buffets? We used to have a lot more buffets than we do these days. But Ruby Tuesday still has a salad bar buffet. It's a good one, too. They have got all kinds of different kinds of lettuce, and they've got all kinds of things you can put on your salad and things that make it sinful, you know. All those extra things that you put on there that you don't put on at home that they've got there, you know, they've got all kinds of good things except for the beets. I always pass those up. I don't really care for beets that much. But they've got them out there for people that love beets. Any beet lovers here? All right, praise the Lord. We'll be praying for y'all. Obviously, we need an awakening in our church. But I never have adapted to the taste of beets. It just doesn't ring with me. But anyway, we're not going to get off on that. Notice this, please. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Who is the giver of grace? It's God. And He gives more grace. In other words, we can always expect more if we humble ourselves before Him. Last night we kept Preston and he got some marshmallows for a little snack before bedtime. All right. And this time we had the different colorful marshmallows. And of course those are always better. They all taste the same, but they are better because they're different colors, right? And he was sitting there and he finished up his last one and he was sitting up there in the chair with me. And he looked at me. More? I said, we have to ask Mimi. And the face just went, ooh. Okay. Now, Mimi was very kind. Mimi went and got some more. But I've learned a lesson. If Poppy says you can have more, Mimi always undoes it. Right? So I've learned a lesson. All right? I would love to give you more, son, but you're going to have to ask Mimi first. That way, he's safe and I'm safe. Right? How many of you fellows have learned that lesson? All right, praise the Lord. We've got some sharp folks here today. I learned it the hard way, though. Some of you are smarter than me. I learned it the wrong way. God giveth more grace. And when we look to the Lord and said, Lord, I need some more grace. You know what He does? He gives it. He giveth grace to whom? The humble. Those are attitude words. One more verse. Philippians 4 and verse 5. Flip over there very quickly. Philippians 4 and verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation. That's interesting. Talking about an attitude. An attitude that should be affected by God's grace. Not going off onto the fringes. Not swinging back and forth like a pendulum, but just let your moderation be known unto all men. That's a work of God's grace in your heart and life. It affects your attitude. Now notice what I've said below. A gracious attitude creates an atmosphere which affects people who come within our orbit. You know there are people in your orbit? Did you know you had an orbit? We've been in orbit for all of our lives. We traveled millions of miles in 2022. Millions of miles. And many of them were just in a circle. All right? We're going millions of miles every year, over 7 million miles that we traveled just going in a circle. And then we went way more than that, going all the way around the sun and coming back all the way to the distant part of the universe and then coming back again. We traveled all kinds. You're in an orbit. But here on this earth, you have an orbit of people. Are they attracted to God's grace in your heart and life? They won't be if the following is true. Notice, please. They won't be if the following is true. Believers who cherish the sloppy, the careless, the mediocre, the whatever that we hear so much about today, people will not be drawn into that orbit because they want to see the grace of God. They'll be repelled by that orbit because you've allowed yourself to not have the grace of God. Because that kind of attitude indicates that you're missing the grace of God. You know what the grace of God does in our hearts and lives? It helps us with our attitude, and we get sharper, and we look better, we talk better, because the grace of God affects us. We're not satisfied with the sloppy. We're not satisfied with the mediocre. We're not satisfied with the get-by attitude that's so prevalent today. Oh, they need to take the word fast off of food. There's nothing fast anymore. There's nothing fast. You go and sit in line. All right? And you can hear entire radio programs during that time. And then when you go inside and watch them work, they look like snails. Is it break time yet? Well, what did you do to earn a break? You haven't moved hardly. We're living in a day and age where people are lacking. They love the sloppy and the careless and the whatever and the get-by attitude. Not so of the Christian that's growing in grace. Amen? Not so. Your attitude is affected. You lack grace if this is what you own. The sloppy and the careless. Number three, and we'll be done. Our outreach is affected. I want to show you this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. I've got it up on the screen, but I'm going to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, that is such a beautiful passage. 1 Corinthians 15 gives us the heart and soul of the gospel. But not only that, it tells us something about God's grace. Look at verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That is a statement that all of us should be able to make. I am what I am by what? The grace of God. But he doesn't stop there. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now let that soak in for just a moment. How many things do we do in life that are just vain and empty? Yesterday, I bagged up leaves, and Jonathan and I cleaned up the backyard, got all the leaves picked up. I walked out to the front yard, and one of the trees had let go of remaining leaves, and it just showered down one of our water oaks. And I was just looking, why didn't you do that before? It was watching me. The tree was watching me. Said, he's moving to the backyard. He's in the backyard. He can't see us. And down they came. And the wind was blowing yesterday, and it made a leaf drift. We don't have snow drifts in Florida. We have leaf drifts where it kind of blows up to one spot. So I had to go get my rake out and rake it up, bag it up. All right? Does it seem like in Florida that we have to do a lot of raking? Yeah. Oak leaves. And it's all throughout the year. You know, different times of the year, the pine trees let loose of their long leaf needles and they fall down. We got to rake them up. And then before long, it's the river birch and it lets go of its leaves at odd times of the year. And then you have oak trees that let go, the maples, everything just lets go of their leaves at different times, and we're out there raking all the time. It almost seems like a vain exercise, does it not? Paul said this about God's grace. It wasn't empty. God's grace affected me, and it affected my ministry. Notice what he says. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored, how? More abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. That's an astounding statement. Whenever I was studying that particular verse, I said, that affects how I live here upon this earth. His grace allows me to minister more abundantly. When I'm dependent on His grace, when I'm depending upon myself, I'm not ministering abundantly. Don't you want to be abundant in your ministry? Don't you want to live life in such a way where people are blessed and helped and encouraged? Then you need to let God's grace do His work. You need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not only is your speech affected, not only is your attitude affected, but your ministry, your outreach in Milton, your outreach to your family members, your outreach to this local church, your outreach throughout the community is affected, and you can minister more abundantly when you bring in the grace of God and let it grow in your life. This is what grace looks like. Did you follow today? This is what grace looks like. You don't talk the same. Your attitude is not the same. How you minister to others is not the same because something came into your life. It's called God's grace. And you allowed it to grow in your life. And you were able to minister more abundantly. And yet Paul says this, and yet not I, but the grace of God that worked in me. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, you laid this passage of Scripture on my heart as a kind of a starting block for this year. Lord, so many times we come up with these resolutions that we're going to do and they fall by the wayside, but this is one that needs to continue. Growth in grace, growing in grace. It's not just this odd word out in outer space. It has feet and it has hands. It has legs. It's vibrant, it's alive, and it affects us in a very powerful way. It affects how we talk to others. It affects our attitude from which our speech comes from. But not only that, it affects our ministry to others. And I'm afraid that many times our ministry is not what it ought to be because we're not growing in grace. We're just playing around on the fringes of grace. We're not like Paul, who could say, I am what I am by the grace of God, and this same grace is what allows me to minister abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace that God has bestowed upon me has allowed me to do this. Oh, how we need abundant ministries. Especially in the times in which we live with so much uncertainty, so many people that don't even know who Jesus Christ is, much less talk to them about the gospel. Lord, we live in times and we need the grace of God ministered in our lives, and then our lives turn around and minister that same grace to others. Father, I pray that in a powerful way you would use these series of thoughts on 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. To stimulate growth in our hearts and lives, that people will be drawn into the orbit in which we are living by the grace of God, almost like a magnet, which will affect our ability to communicate the truth of the gospel to those that are lost. Father, work in our hearts today, and may we be growing in grace this year, for I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.